Here, the old gods are dead.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
41 episodes in and we still don't know how to record a fucking podcast.
The audio will never be our strong point.
The content will also not be our strong point. The introduction will also not be our strong point.
What is the strong point?
The chemistry. This is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hi. Are we on time?
Yeah, this will release on Wednesday, given that I edit tomorrow.
This is a treat, I say, giving the bare minimum.
No, two episodes in a row on time.
I know.
And the last one was only on time because we decided when we were coming back.
Oh yeah, and we delayed it by a week. But no one knows we delayed it by a week. We just did.
Look, I was not on a place.
We never claimed to be perfect.
No. If podcasting was our full-time jobs, maybe it would be better, but...
I doubt it.
Unlike other podcasters, we are not jobless.
That's so nasty. I agree, though.
Anyway... Liam has much tea for me because he's been on holiday in Lithuania and I haven't heard any gossip because he wants to monetize.
She was like, what's been going on? I was like, this and that. Literally 5 minutes before this, I was like, oh my God, I've not really done anything. I have nothing to talk about, but I've been on holiday in Lithuania for a week. And then I've also had a PhD interview and I've also been to Stirling this weekend. So I've actually done a lot. What about you?
Fuck off. Gone.
Yeah, so it was in Lithuania. Like, it was so sunny the whole time. It was like utopia. Like, this was like the children playing in the park, young mothers like walking around the pram inside park, old ladies sitting on the bench. You know, in Charmed, when they, you know, that plot line where they like create utopia, and it's,
yeah,
it was exactly like that. Birds eating flowers blooming. I would live there. But then also they have a really harsh winter and I went like just before summer started. So it was like perfect weather.
Yeah. I'm not bold enough, brave enough. Like every year, like winter comes around and I'm like, how have I not acclimatized to this yet?
Yeah, no. Well, it's really hard here because we don't really actually have seasons.
Yeah, because it's a fucking desolate, horrible island.
It's a rainforest. Yeah, but I had a great time. I'm so exhausted because like I went, like I've like not stopped since I went there. And also when I went there, because I went with my boyfriend and he's from there. So I met all of his friends. So I've just been meeting new people the whole time. One of his friends, like their English speaking accent either sounds how you expect like Eastern Bloc English speaking accent to sound, or it's like SoCal American accent. It's so insane. Like one of his friends, she's like, we were staying with her and she has a cat. Her cat's so cute. But she would just say like the funniest things. Like she was like, when like on the first day I met her, she was like, "So are you two like gonna get married?" And then another time, I think this was like the second day, but we had all been drinking, and she was like, "Can you just kiss? I love love." Which is so funny. She's so like, I can't even explain how obsessed I was with her. I also had a very like intense experience at one point. So me, Narius, and one of his friends, we went, the same friend that I was just talking about, we went to visit some of the churches, and we went into like a wine shop, Vinoteca or something, or Vinoteco. It's like a chain liquor store. And we went in, and she bought her juice, and I picked up my juice, but then Narius was getting it for me. It was like just a bottle of orange juice. We were thirsty. It was very sunny, and we were staying hydrated. Anyway, before Narius gets into the queue, another guy, like a very Jakey-looking guy, like it's sort of the same demographic everywhere. Anyway, he got to the queue in front of Narius, and then the woman at the counter was like speaking fully in Lithuanian, so I had no idea what was going on because I have a very rudimentary Lithuanian. I can do like little bits of conversation and like counting and food and stuff. And then she goes and locks the door and leaves the key in the door, and I'm like, what's going on? Because he was there and like he had a friend with him, and I was like, why would she leave the key in the door unless he told her to do it? So I was like, is this place being robbed? Am I going to be robbed? I was like very visibly like receding into myself. I turned around to Narius's friend, and she was like, do you want some juice? just to drink. But then I had no idea what was going on. And then afterwards, I saw him take a bottle of like rum out of his sleeve and put it on the counter after she had like for 5 minutes looked at security footage. So I had no idea what was going on for 5 minutes. I was like, my passport's going to be taken. I'm not going to be able to get home. I'm going to die. And then after that, like, he just left with nothing, and him and his friend like sprinted out the shop. So I asked afterwards what had actually gone on, and I was told basically he had just gone to buy a beer, but then she said, I noticed you looking at a bottle of rum, are you still gonna buy it? And he was like, oh no, I put it back. She looked at the shelf, she noticed that something was odd with the shelf, then she looked at the security footage, and she said, so are you going to pay for that bottle of rum that's in your sleeve or not? After she locked the door. And then he was like, yeah, sure. And then he took it out of his sleeve and put it on the counter, and then pretended to look through his bag for 5 minutes for his card. And then she was like, get the fuck out and never come back. And then when we were leaving the shop, we noticed on the wall as you like leave through the door, which was there when we came in, we just didn't notice, it's like huge, like A4 prints of like people's faces from security camera footage. Like,
oh my God.
Don't serve these people or whatever. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, cause like petty theft like that obviously happens in Scotland as well. But the protocols here are different because you're not allowed to like lock other people in the. Yeah, exactly. So I guess because maybe it happens less there, there's like more protocols for intervening because like.
Yeah, when I worked in like famous fast food chain McDoondles, they were like, when I got trained, I was like 17 or 16. And they were like, if anybody ever tries to rob here, which will only happen, just give them everything, open every till, give them everything and just get them out.
Even give them like, 3 cheeseburgers and say, see you later, baby.
See you next week. Yeah, that's literally like, what they said.
I was like, am I going to die? I really, for real.
Over a bottle of rum.
Yeah.
He's all got locked in there over like dead man's fingers or Bacardi. Yeah,
it was like a 15-euro bottle of rum.
Just going to give him a minute.
Me too. I hope she's getting paid well.
Yeah, she's built different. That wouldn't be me.
Yeah, but it was fun. And then the day after I got back, I immediately had a PhD interview.
How did it go?
I think it went fine. I got an email afterwards saying, thanks for coming. The panel were extremely impressed with your presentation and your overall interview. And then I should hear back this week.
Creepy Wee Podcast prayer circle for Liam.
Yeah,
everybody
please.
Gather your thoughts manifest.
Oh my God, yeah, because this will be released hopefully, because they said Friday, so hopefully it'll be released before then, so people will listen and say a little prayer.
I genuinely have like no update to beat that.
You didn't get robbed?
No, I went out on Friday night again. This is becoming a problem, actually.
Oh, after work drinky poos?
Yeah, again. I wonder when the novelty, like...
It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. It feels like it's not gone. I had a really fun time. I was with Amir. We went to NQ64 and we also went to play pool. Absolute fortune. An absolute fortune.
That sounds like a lot.
If we had focused our energy in NQ64, so this is like a chain where you can go and play like arcade games and stuff like that, but they've got like PlayStations and stuff. And I really believe that if me and Amir had just focused our energies on Simpsons Hit and Run, that we would have completed it. Because we definitely got like, halfway through Bart's bit, and then Amir was like, oh, let's say something else. And I was like, no.
We're not even at Marge yet.
I know, the best bit.
That is the best bit.
Yeah, I literally have nothing to say. I've got a stupid question to ask you.
Okay.
Because I was on TikTok and it like came up. And it's like fun questions to ask your partner. So I was like, that'll do for me and Leo. If someone told you that I was arrested without giving any additional explanation, what's the first assumption you would make and why?
I think fighting in a
pub. Fighting?
Oh. Yeah. You're a bar brawl kind of person.
This drink's starting to taste like, did he just fucking touch me? I think yours would be like having an actual full-blown mental breakdown on public transport.
I agree, because like I almost forgot that like my main thing that I was going to talk about on here for the intro part was that I like, obviously I'm back on the public transport grind, going to work every day, back to reality. And I got on the train today and I was like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? It's like, you get to the barriers at Waverley and then my ticket didn't work. And then the people were just standing there and I was like, excuse me, please, excuse me. I then missed my bus that I needed to get afterwards. By like literally like, and I was sprinting by 5 seconds, which was even more embarrassing because I was running to try and catch it, but only one person got on, of course, and no one that was standing at the bus stop thought to like hold the bus for me, which I would do.
That's Edinburgh for you. That is Edinburgh for you. That's so embarrassing that you wouldn't catch me running for a bus.
Yeah, I'm never doing that again.
What kind of worms have I actually owned? Oh my God, speaking of worms.
Wait, that's a good segue.
Would you still love me if I was a worm?
Yes. I would keep you in my pocket and I would feed you little like pieces of grass or whatever worms eat, maybe microbes and dirt. I'd feed you dirt. I always ask Nereus this and he just ignores me. He hates this question.
The focus on worm. I'm gonna have to put that in the Instagram post for anybody who doesn't ken. Would you still love me if I was a worm? So that is a segue, because for this episode we're going to be talking about the Mestre Stour worm, which doesn't sound that exciting, but it's a dragon, so it's not like a dirty worm, which the title would allude to. It's about a dragon.
Yeah, why'd they call it a worm if it's a dragon? Is it just because it lives underground?
I will be getting into the etymology and stuff once I tell you the fairy tale. So we'll take a wee break and then we'll talk about the Mestre Stour worm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So if you've never listened to us tell a fairy tale before, I pretty much leave them untouched for the sources that I use. So this one, actually, I'm balancing my mic on the book that I used. Hold on.
And also, if you've not heard us tell a fairy tale before, go listen to all the other episodes. Like,
yeah.
What are you waiting for?
I honestly think that these are the most fun episodes that we do. So this one comes from Scottish Folk Tales. It doesn't have an author, but it's by Lomond Publishers. So this is the story Asipatl and the Stoorworm. And I'm keeping all the whimsical language of the fairy tale in because it's my favourite. So there was once a dreadful and evil race of creatures known as the Stoorworm. Enormous, fearful sea monsters, and the largest and most fearful of all was the Mester Stoorworm. Nobody knew where he had come from, but it was said that he had been created by the devil. He had grown so large that his body curled right around the world. His massive forked tongue could sweep entire cities into the sea and crush the largest castles, but he could also use it to pick men up who were working on fields or single ship out of the sea. His breath was so foul and poisonous that it would kill any living thing that came within a mile of it. And when he yawned, the earth shook and the fields would flood.
Bitches who vape 5 minutes into a night out. My friend Fraser works in polo. I don't know if that's doxing, but I'm keeping it in. and he like has such a grievance with like people like who vape, and he's like, they may taste nice, but please stand, like, keep your COVID rules. Like, I don't want to smell that.
The breath of the Stoorworm just smelling like a pink lemonade elf bar. A lost Mary. But the Stoorworm is Philip Schofield.
That was good. I'm proud of you.
So everybody dreaded the Stoorworm ever reaching their land, because then they would have to feed it and satisfy its terrible hunger. Every Saturday at sunrise, the Stoorworm would wake, open his cavernous mouth, yawn 9 times, and demand a meal of 7 young maidens. So specific. A long time ago, the Stoorworm arrived off the coast of an ancient country, much to the fear of all the people there. A wizard, who had the reputation for being very wise, told the king that they would have to keep the Stoorworm happy. The folk would have to feed the beast 7 young maidens every Saturday at sunrise. As you can imagine, the local folk were less than happy about this and soon grew very angry at having to give up their daughters and watch them be so cruelly devoured in the jaws of a monster. So the wizard went to the king and said that he thought if the king were to give up his own daughter, the most beautiful girl in the whole country, then the worm would leave and trouble them no more. I love the exchange rate, like 7 busted bitches for 1 hot girl.
One beautiful, radiant woman will save the world. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So the king is horrified. The princess was his only daughter and he loved her dearly, but his duty to the kingdom was clear and he was forced to agree. To save the land, his beloved daughter should go to the Stoorworm.
Real as fuck. What's that called? Utilitarianism. This is really just a trolley problem.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Pull the lever and kill 7 ugly busted bitches. Or pull the lever again and kill your own hot daughter.
The 7 ugly bitches. Every time.
Pretty once privilege does not work here. You're going to the Stoorworm. So the grief-stricken king asked that his daughter be spared for 3 weeks so that a proclamation could be sent out to all the land. If anyone would fight and kill the monster, he should receive his daughter's hand in marriage, half the kingdom, and his famous sword, Sickersnapper, which he had inherited from Odin himself. I love that, like, there was, like, did they send the proclamation to the Stoorworm so for 3 Saturdays he didn't eat 7 ugly bitches? Like, he just took a break being like, no, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the hot one.
did he know?
Yeah, surely there was 21 women who had to be sacrificed in the 3 weeks as the king got the word out.
That's a lot.
36 warriors arrive at the castle, but when they caught sight of the Stoorworm, 12 fell ill and had to be taken home. 12 ran away, and the other 12 got so drunk that they were fit for nothing.
Choose your fighter. Which one are you? Tag yourself.
The king decided that there was nothing for it, but that he should fight the Stoorworm himself, and he determined that the very next morning he would take his sword and go to conquer the worm. But before he got the chance to do so, an unlikely hero arrived. He was called Asipatl. The youngest of 7 sons, Asipatl lived with his father and mother and brothers on a farm. All his family worked hard on the farm except for Asipatl. I'll be very clear here. This hero is not likable at all. I think you're meant to like be like, oh, like he just wants to like live in his little fantasies and stuff. And I'm like, no, he sounds like a total lazy bastard. Like I did not find him to be a good hero. It's kind of like in Zelda, how like every game, like at the start, Link is like asleep and being like a lazy cunt. That is what it reminded me.
Yeah, but he's likable.
Yeah, Link is
because
likeable.
He's silent.
Yes. So Oi Asipatl's family work hard, but he spent his days lying beside the big open fire in the kitchen, where he became covered in the thick ashes for the peat, and hence he got the name Asipatl, which means ash boy.
wait, that feels like a slur. Charlie XCX ashtray.
Asipatl's mother and father despaired him, and his brothers cursed him for a fool, kicking and beating him regularly. The entire family would laugh out loud when Asipatl told fantastic tales and sagas in which he was always the hero of countless incredible battles.
It kind of feels like this story was written by an incel.
It's a self-insert by someone.
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
So Asipatl hears the king's plea and the rewards on offer, and he slipped away for the farm and rode on his father's horse, which could run faster than the wind, until he arrived at the coast where the monster lay. He set out to sea in a little boat carrying a knife and an iron pot, which lay a smouldering peat from the hearth. As he approached the slumbering monster, he could see that its head was as big as a mountain with eyes like dark round locks. The sun began to rise, and as it was Saturday, the creature began to yawn. Asipatl steered closer to the creature as it yawned a second time. With each yawn, a vast tide of water was swept down into the worm's throat until finally, when he was close enough, one of these waves swept Asipatl's tiny boat into the Stoorworm's mouth.
Nice.
Asipatl and his boat were carried through the mouth and then down the long throat. Through twisting passages and deep dark tunnels, mile after mile, he was whirled with seawater gurgling all around him until at last the current lessened and the water level dropped. The boat grounded, and Asipatl knew that he had only a short time before the Stoorworm yawned again. So climbing from his boat, he ran as he had never run before. This reminded you anything at all?
Jonah and the Whale.
Yep. Yeah. we'll get into it. We'll get into the Pinocchio of it all. Turning one corner after another, he finally came across the creature's liver. pulling out his knife, Assipattle cut a hole in the liver and stuffed the smouldering peat into the wound. He blew on the peat for all it was worth until it finally took light. With a crackle and a splutter, the worm's monstrous liver began to burn and was soon a blazing bonfire. Assipattle ran back to his boat and managed to jump aboard, but only just in time, for the burning liver had made the sewer worm retch. A flood of water from its stomach picked up the little boat and sent it hurtling back towards the worm's mouth. With a spray of water, Assipattle was, and bile, I imagine, since he's cut home his liver.
Yeah, I find it really fascinating how, like, a lot of old stories, like, a lot of sickness centers around the liver. Because, like, obviously now we're like, my tummy hurts, my stomach. but, like, you know, like, the term, like, I'm feeling liverish, like a very oldie sort of.
Yeah.
Like, people used to, I think.
I bet this is to do with the humours.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. But I, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think the French people still have, like, a sort of common word for, well, maybe the older people have a common word, like, it's like feeling liverish or like my liver hurts or something instead of like my tummy.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think so. Anyway, I might have made that up. I don't think I did, though. Wait, I'm wondering, like, see this stir worm? How big is it? Because it's like big enough. Is it hyperbole that it's big enough to wrap around the world, or does it change size? Does it depend on the temperature?
I think like its whole body is like wrapped under the sea around the world, like all the seas of the world.
Oh, like a transatlantic cable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the internet. So Assipattle's launched up because he set the liver on fire. With a spray of water, Assipattle was spewed from the monster's mouth and hurtled back over the sea before landing safely on shore. Once back on shore, Assipattle watched as the fire grew bigger. Black smoke billowed from the monster's nostrils, and in his agony, his forked tongue shot out and up into the sky, then fell with such a crash that it made a deep rift in the earth. The tide rushed into the rift, and this became the Baltic Sea. This is a creation story. It's okay, right? The sewer worm twisted and writhed in torment, flinging his head up into the sky. Every time it fell back down to the earth, the whole world shook and groaned. With each fall, teeth dropped from its foaming mouth. The first lot of teeth falling became the Orkney Islands, and the next, the Shetland Islands. Last of all, when the sewer worm was almost dead, the Faroe Islands fell with an almighty splash. In the end, the creature coiled up, and its huge body created a giant mass which remains there to this day. We call it Iceland. The fire that still dances to this day from the mountains is the liver of the sewer worm still burning. Gag of the century.
I love when a folktale turns into a creation story out of nowhere. I love it so much.
It's like in the Greek myths where it's like, oh, like, say Zeus slept with somebody and Hera was after them, so he turned them into stars and put them in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking like stars, like Orion's Belt and stuff.
Yeah, so that's how we got Iceland. Once the sky had cleared and the sun shone again, the king took Assipattle into his arms and called him his son, and the people rejoiced that the sewer worm was dead. Assipattle was given the sword Sickersnapper and half the kingdom, and luckily, he and the princess fell in love for a week later that they were married in great style in the royal palace. They live in happiness and joy, and if they are not dead, they are living still. I love... That was like when we did the Black Billy Norway, and it's like, and if they're not dead, they're still living. Now, like, Scottish folktales always finish that way. I love that.
Do you believe in life after love? I'm so serious. I love that. I like that one. That's my favorite one so far.
I have things to say, so I've obviously got a bit of etymology here. The name Sturworm was derived from the Old Norse Storgandr, which is an alternative name for Jormungandr. Who fucking knows if I'm saying that right?
Yes, exactly.
Jormungandr. Anyway, the world or Midgard serpent of Norse mythology. Stur was a term used by Scots in the latter part of the 14th century to describe like the animosity fighting in battles. Like if like a dirty, horrible battle would be called Stur or Sturi. It could also be applied to the violent conflicts of the weather elements, so wind and rain and like lightning and thunder. I use stir quite a lot. Like, it's a word that I still use.
Yeah.
I obviously talk in Scots most of the time. But I use it to describe things that are, like, dusty and dirty. Like, black with soot. Like, yeah. Stir. That's how I would use it.
Yeah, messy.
Yeah. Which is cool to see where that word actually came from. Yeah. But it's weird because I've never thought, like, where stir would have came from, but it's a great word. Like, you can, like, immediately that means, like, grotty. Or, like...
Yeah, especially when the sort of, like, dirt that it's associated with is, like, sort of, like, soot build-up and stuff, and then you have coal, and then you have, like, fire, and then you have, like, dragons.
Yeah.
Have fun.
But, obviously, like, it's not just the stourworm or a stourworm that's in this story, it's the Mestre stourworm. And Mestre is just basically the Scots way of saying master. So the Mestre stourworm would be considered the master or father of all stourworms. And in Scotland, worm may frequently be applied to a dragon, as it is in Northern England, according to folklorist Catherine Briggs of the Encyclopedia of Fairies, Goblins, and whatever that I use all the time. She says that the usage of worm or worm is fae Saxon and North terms.
Is that worm spelt with, like, a Y? I
was just going to say that, yeah. Right, so right. It's worm, as in worm with a Y, so W... Y-R-M, yeah. Meaning dragon or serpent.
Ooh.
Scaly. In Shetland, there was a long-standing belief that far away in the sea, near the edge of the world, because Scotland and, like, the Faroe Islands and Shetland and stuff, like, it was all considered to be, like, the end of the world. Yeah. Like, if you look at it on, like, really ancient maps, it's kind of, like, past, like, Scotland and the islands, it's kind of like beasts be here kind of thing, like dragons be here, that's kind of the stuff that you would see on, like, ancient maps. So basically in Orkney they believed that at this edge of the world lived a monstrous sea serpent that took about 6 hours to draw his breath and then 6 hours to let it out again, which is speculated was probably an explanation for the cycle of the tides, because obviously at that point they didn't ken it was like the moon's pool, so it's a dragon breathing in and out, like a massive water beast.
Oh, I like that.
Like, obviously I'm very much assuming that people who listen to this podcast, like, are up to date on their Greek mythology. I see you queers for what you are.
A lot of bisexual flags in the bios of the people who follow this podcast.
So if, like me, like, listening to the story, you've ever been like, this really does sound like the tale of Perseus saving Andromeda for the Kraken.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's the same kind of thing. So it's like, they're sacrificing young maidens. The king decides to intervene, gives his own daughter up to finally appease the beast. A hero comes in, saves the princess, marries the princess. All as well, defeats the beast, etc. So there is a thinking between amongst folklorists that stories like this kind of originated in, like, pagans moving away for, like, animal and human sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, like, their way, like, we didn't have to do this anymore because the heroes of old have done it and it doesn't need to happen anymore, essentially. And then there's just been, like, loads of different versions that have been adopted over time.
That's
cool, eh?
That is cool.
Yeah, and there's, like, a few, like, Herculean feats that are, like, similar.
Yeah. I also love, like, any story that has a dragon in it. I love the concept of dragons because, like, you know, like, the theory that, like, you could leave, like, 40 people on an island with no contact with the outside world, and if you let their society progress, they'd have myths of dragons.
Yeah, everybody has them.
Yeah, but even ones that didn't communicate with other cultures, like, it's just an innate computational insert.
What was it I seen that's you know, like, the kind of Assassin's Creed theory where it's like your DNA kind of holds memories?
Epigenetic trauma.
Yeah, it's like the reason why we are so fascinated by these creatures, like, obviously, like, Game of Thrones, the Priory, the Orange Tree, like, are two, like, recent pieces of literature that I can think about that are about dragons, How to Train Your Dragon. Like, we're still obsessed. Yeah, we're still, like, fascinated by these creatures. And why? Who knows?
They're cool.
Aye, but cool.
Also they come. I guess they combine elements of everything that we should be scared of.
Yeah.
Big fire, lizard, sharp teeth, impervious to fighting. So many things. Hoarding wealth. We should fear hoarding wealth.
The Hobbit was actually like an anti-capitalist book. No, I wanted to do, because I originally wanted to do the Nine Maidens of Dundee, which we probably will do at some point, but...
Fun fact, they are actually nine maidens that were spared from being fed to the Stourworm.
No, but I thought that that one's quite short and quite repetitive, and a fun fairy tale kind of way, so maybe I'll collect shorter stories about dragons and we can talk about them one day, but I've seen this one in one of my many books of Scottish mythology and folklore and was like, no, we need to do this. But aye, that is the Stourworm. Would you still love me if I was a worm?
I told you I would carry you in my pocket in a patch of dirt.
I can that you're I'm meant to be picturing myself as a worm, but all I can picture is Jiminy Cricket. Would you still love me if I was Jiminy Cricket?
No, I would step on you. Squish you. I think he looks really satisfying to squish because he looks kind of like a grape.
I'd eat Jiminy Cricket.
I would eat. Yeah, you go, like, you know how you get those like crickets on like a stick from like street vendors. And one of them has a top hat.
High protein Jiminy Cricket stick. Anyway. Wait,
I'm kind of hungry now. Teriyaki Jiminy Cricket. I would eat that.
Anyway, that has been the Creepy Wee Podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod. If you want to buy merch or anything else, you can go to our website, thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Bye. The copyright claim. We're stopping. The way that we've already got one episode that is not on YouTube because of us being Kylie Minogue in it.
Oh, yeah. She really is against us. Do you think we should write her like an email, like, we love you so much and we use you in our podcast all the time, and then we have to take it out again because you copyright us all the time? Cease and desist from Kylie Minogue, Gwen.
We're selling merch with your lyrics on it.
Shh, no, that's unrelated.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.